Welcome to ConnectaPod. I am Angelica Benitez, your host for this month's episode. This month, the ConnectaPod team visited Uganda. Just kidding. However, we did interview Joaquim Cebuana, who is from Uganda and is studying here at St. John's Seminary with a scholarship. He took the team on a tour of the seminary in Camarillo, California, and shared some of his philosophies he learned as a boy from his father, including the whole bread syndrome. Off we go! We are here today at St. John's Seminary here in Camarillo, interviewing
Joaquim Cebuana.
Where are you from?
I am from Uganda, East Africa.
What was it like in Uganda?
Well, that's a tough question. It is different, I would say, very different. Most people over there, like 98%, are black, right? But it's less developed. We have more green, you know, more trees, more nature than here. Less cars, more people walking on the street. It's beautiful. It's a different kind of beauty. It's beautiful here, but it's a different kind of beauty over there. And if you went over there, you would love it. You would enjoy it.
What inspired you to become a deacon?
Well, being a deacon is part of the process of becoming a priest. So the question would be, what inspired me to become a priest? And I was inspired by the missionary priests who were in Africa when I was, you know, a child, 5, 6, 7 years old. So they were very nice people, amazing, and they loved God and they loved us. So I wanted to be like them.
Are there any rules being a priest?
Yes. They're not rules, but I don't know how to say it. It's a calling that you have to serve God's people, but also to be an example for others, you know, representing Jesus Christ. But one most important thing is that as a priest, you don't get married. You know, you are dedicating your whole life to serving God and in that way.
But what about your family? What do you do for them?
You still support them, you work with them, you can visit with them. But when you become a priest, your family is everybody. So you are now part of the bigger family. Because people ask me a lot, do you miss your family? I go, I do, but at the same time, no, because you are my family.
When you become a priest, are you going to return to Uganda and become a missionary there?
I'm actually going to be ordained a priest in Uganda. So I'm not being a missionary there. Mm-hmm. I'm staying there. It is like, you know, my home. I very much want to go back to Uganda because one thing is I came here for school. And then that's the mission, to go back to Uganda. The second thing is that everything is beautiful here. I love it here. And humanly speaking, I would want to stay here. That would be selfish of me. That is me, because I like everything here. It gives you a different perspective and even to appreciate things more. I have been given so much grace that I really love to go and just be back home and work with the people.
What type of school do you have to go to?
To become a priest? This is a theologate, which is a school for theology. And so first you have to learn some philosophy, and then after that you learn theology. And after theology, you have a master's degree in a divinity and a ministry.
How old are you?
I am, well, I look a lot older, but I'm only 28. I will be 29 in May.
Yeah, how did you learn question. English?
Like you learned Spanish, right? No. I learned English in school, high school a little bit, and then college. There was also an English class in my elementary school. And so we only spoke English when I got here, like for real. We have so many dialects, so many languages, like Luganda, Lunyankore, Wichiga. There are so many languages from my country, and that's how people interacted. But the most common one is Luganda. That's the most widely spoken language in my country.
Actually, can you speak a little bit like of each five?
Yes. In Luganda, we say, "What's all your tia?" That's for, how are you today? Oliotia, that is Luganda. And then when you go to Runyoro, they will say Wasibirota, and then the same as Rutoro, Orohota, and then we go to Chinyagwanda. That's a language spoken in my language and in a country next to us. The country is called Rwanda, where there was a genocide. So they say, you know, Umezute, Umezeneza. Then I would go to Rufumbira or Oragamboteya. You can go to Runyankore, which is Wasibota, and then Wichiga was Tibireje. I think that's it. Yeah, apart from my little dialects and languages from back home, I learned a little bit of Latin and Greek and a little bit of French. And I think that's about it. I don't speak Spanish. I understand a lot. Y entiendo mucho, pero yo hablo nada. Ya hablo nada, ¿no? I can look for food. I can ask for tacos, and I can say, hey, el sábado gigante, ¿no?
Was it hard, like, in life in Uganda?
I would say yes and no. I think what is hard, especially for most people, is that they are financially poor. Because I always try to distinguish, you know, poverty. Because very often people will say, oh, people are poor in Africa. I say, well, everybody is poor in some way. You would say comparatively, people here have money than people do in my country. They don't have to worry about food, and they have a job. But then there is a lot of poverty. And so it's not just financial poverty. But you feel like I would give up everything I have for just peace, to just be peaceful, to just be happy. And it's not there. That's a kind of poverty itself. But the biggest form of poverty back home would be financial. You know, lack of food. Some people have no security. They don't know if they will be able to have a second meal the following day, or medicine or something like that. But still, people are able to smile and be happy and feel grateful and feel okay, which is the most important thing for someone to still find, you know, a pocket and see God and see hope. And
did you feel shy at first?
When?
Like when you first came here?
I didn't get shy, I think. Yeah, but everything was overwhelming to say here. Everything was overwhelming. It was difficult to be able to adjust to like the food. And for the first 2 weeks, I did not eat the food here. I only fed on bread and milk. And that's why I don't like milk anymore. But because everything had, you know, they put sugar in the food. I was like, that's crazy, you know. Why would you do that? So I was talking to my family, like, you know what? Everything in America is weird. You know, why would you want to put sugar in chicken? You know, like they call it barbecue sauce or something. For us, we put sugar in tea and that's it. And then you put salt in sauce and everything else. But anyway, so it was difficult for me to adjust.
What are problems in Uganda?
I think the problems which are in Uganda are the same problems like everywhere, except, you know, the level of the problem, like political problems, where the president has been in power for 31 years and he doesn't want to leave and he's trying to kill whoever is opposing him and things like that. And the other problem would be people, especially people are dying because of lack of medicine. You know, the illnesses which would have been taken care of easily are not being taken care of because the government is not helping people. They are about themselves. So very many people, especially babies, are dying every single day. And the other thing would be there is a lot of refugees, people coming from outside the country. And many of those are not being taken care of really well. So we need to understand that everybody is a refugee, and we should not say, okay, they are encroaching on our land, on our property. Because all of us, just because you have been in a place first, you can't claim it. You know, you can't claim it. You know, the first refugees we know of are Adam and Eve. You know, when they are being sent away from the Garden of Eden after misbehaving, they had to leave. They were forced out of the garden. And so many people have been forced out of their homes and their homelands because of war and so many instabilities and, you know, looking for opportunities. They have been forced. Nobody can leave their home when they're they're very happy. No, they're being forced by a situation, a circumstance. So to be able to understand that anybody can be a refugee somehow, you know, we look at Jesus, Mary and Joseph, when they fled to Egypt, that they are refugees, they are immigrants. You know, they're, you know, going to some place. So that God is giving you a chance, that you are finding somebody in the place is an opportunity rather than a hindrance.
How can people here help?
People here can help one thing by being neighbors one another. That's the first thing. Because very often we can say, oh, they are very poor people out there. are poor people only in Africa? No. Go down Los Angeles. You know, you'll find homeless people. Mm-hmm. So one thing we have to be aware, and we need to be present to our neighbors. You know, love God and love your neighbor. How do we take care about one another? How can we be community first? So let's begin from here. And then how can we help? Then we can extend that love to other people. And I don't know why, but I found that need here a lot. And so I challenge people when somebody says, you know, what can we do? But to be able to say, well, I am so blessed. Let me be grateful for what I got. That is already is enough to begin with. And then from there, you have a foundation. You cannot give what you do not have. And then you are able to say, well, I have more than I need, then I can share with others. Then I can send some help out there. If I see somebody going to Africa and I have 3 pairs of shoes, I don't need 5, you know, and then, so that helps you first to form who you are, to not just begin asking and looking and accumulating things, materialism, you know, accumulating things, but rather to say, this is how much I need. And so everything surplus could go out and help other people.
What lessons has your father taught you?
So one of the things I really, really learned from him is that he taught me that, you know, being trusted is more valuable than being loved. Even though very often people seek the other, with trust, everything else comes. He would buy one bread every time he came back home, and he would call me and give it to me. And every time he gave it to me, I thought it was my bread from the beginning, but then he would ask me to break it apart and, you know, share with your siblings. And I thought, well, my dad loves me so much, so he's giving me bread. I was the youngest. And then I would break this bread apart with my nephews and nieces. It's later that I realized that dad brought this bread and he wanted me to share with everybody. So he taught me the whole bread syndrome, that, you know, when you have a bread, always think in terms of breaking it apart. It is not to keep to yourself and begin eating from all corners, but rather say, this is whole bread. It is meant to be shared. And that is our life. And that is our life as well. Look at yourself as bread to be shared with other people. Because before, I would look at my life as, you know, about me and what I can achieve, what I want, what, you know. Sometimes it's like that, you know. What do I want? You know, I'm studying so I can be this, so I can get lots of money. But then eventually you're like, I want to have this beautiful car. I want to have this beautiful house. But then as I grew in the seminary and God calling me to this, I realized, and this is important for you guys, that your life is not about you. So I learned that my life is not about me anymore. And my life is meaningless unless I share my life. That's the purpose for which I was created.
Webalim Nyo, Joaquin, will be checking back with you when you are back in Uganda. Thank you for the tour of St. John's, and we are still eating oranges. Well, that's it for ConnectaPod 2017. I'm Angie Benitez.
I'm Daniela Catalan. Merry Christmas.
And I'm Vicky Benitez. Wishing you a happy Kwanzaa.
And I'm Grigani Lopez. And happy Hanukkah.
I'm Michelle Lopez, featuring ConnectaPod 3 Porter. And happy holidays.
I'm Andrea Lopez.
And I'm Betsy Foldes Myman.
Happy New Year.
And we are ConnectaPod. See you in 2018.